Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 609 of the Drunk Dash Friends podcast. I'm your host, as always. I'm Tyler. And joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. Look at him coming prepared.
Man, I'll tell you what. I couldn't help myself this past week. I go to Walmart. I had a long-ass wait and stuff of line because one associate, one cashier line, like about maybe 5 to maybe 10 different people waiting and shit. But before that, I went into the men's section, right? And they had a lot of their Father's Day shirts and stuff like that. And automatically, I'm like, okay, there's probably not going to be nothing of interest in, for me. And all of a sudden, I see the phrasing that I'm referred to on a weekly basis, the man, the myth, the legend. And God, I could not pass this up. I don't care if I spend about fucking $8 for this shit. I just wanted to wear this shirt. But, oh man, I'm doing all right. And not just all right, dude. I mean, I went on a spending spree for game stuff this past week. And it's not, and honestly, it wasn't for retro games. So what I basically did is I had a little bit of like a, I had a little bit of a saving thing for on Steam, right? So I already had money that was already credited to my account from what I did like about a month or so ago. And so I went on to Steam last week. I'm like, okay, what do I want to get here? There's a bunch of all these sales that are going on at the same time. Yeah. Weirdly, because of Golden Week in Japan, so Capcom's having their sale. Then you have a whole bunch of like first-person shooter stuff that's for sale and this and that. It was very daunting, Tyler, to say the least, because I'm the type that if I want to decide what I want to get, I have to look at everything before I decide, which usually takes anywhere between like a couple hours to sometimes almost a week.
Oh my God.
To decide, no. Dude. It just freaking drives me insane. So what I decided to do is I decided to go with new games. Not buy more of the ones I probably already have on the Xbox or the PlayStation or the Switch or whatever.
Good.
I bought... I'm just counting them quickly right here. I think I've bought about 9 new games or something Jesus. Like that this past week. Okay. And, yeah, most of them are Steam, and yes, they were on sale. Actually, when I think about it, I'm looking at a game I got today, too. That was 10. And, that one is not a new game. That one's from last... a couple years ago. But the games I end up buying a bunch of indie games.
Nice.
Off of Steam.
Fuck so, yeah, man.
Dude. So one of them is something I already have on Game Pass, right? So it's Brotato. I end up getting that. Yeah. I ended up getting Penny's Breakaway on Steam. That one was cut down to $20. So I'm thinking, okay, that's fine. I can pick that up.
Okay.
Let's see. What else did I get here? I got... Dice Folk. This is like an indie game or somewhere. It's kind of similar in terms of like Pokemon and stuff, but you can just use die roll and stuff in order to do some like bit of RPG like stuff. Let's see. I got Pepper Grinder.
Oh, okay.
I ended up picking that up. I also picked up another game by the name of Anomaly Agent. I also picked up Mini Shoot Adventures. And let's see, I got a difficult game about climbing, which this is sort of like a meme game that's been going on. Like streamers have been showcasing them, like playing this hard game and stuff. And then one of the last games I ended up getting for Steam was Buckshot Roulette. That one, all these games I just mentioned that I bought from Steam here, there's even one with a name I cannot pronounce because the half of it's cut off. It's called Toho, and then there's like a it's some sort of like a bullet hell sort of shooter slash action platformer or something like that.
Gotcha.
All these are games released this year, and that was the point, you know. After playing games like Tekken 8 and then Balatro on Steam this past year and stuff, and how much I was just getting into playing those games and stuff, I decided just to go on to Steam, check out a lot of the like very positive or overtly positive games that have released this past year. And the ones that I picked up were the ones that had the most, well, the ones that I was most interested in, right? And so I got those games, and then yesterday, while I was on my stint at Walmart, I bought Helldivers 2, but I have
Let's
not...
Let's go!
I have not opened it, I haven't had any time to go and fucking play this game, though I do want to, because I had a slew of other shit I had to do responsibility-wise. But, yeah, man, I spent quite a bit in terms of collecting new games, trying out new games. Actually, yeah, more than, I think about half of these games that I bought for Steam I actually did play and try out, so I'll definitely be talking more about it later on in the show. But what have you been doing this past week, Tyler?
Not a lot of cables, you know, clanging and banging as always. Not a whole lot, just another week. You know, we had a crazy weather week. We had a bunch of tornadoes here in Iowa, unfortunately.
Oh, that's scary.
A couple towns got taken out. If you are someone that supports George Kittle, Gables, I know you do. I know you, and obviously I do, being an Iowa boy. Yep. He's doing a cool thing right now. If you go I should have brought the link up, but if I just look for George Kittle on Twitter or on his Facebook, and he put out a shirt that has Iowa Strong on it. There's Hawkeye colors for Iowa Hawkeye, Iowa State colors. All the money goes to help those people that, unfortunately, a couple towns got wiped out. We had over a half dozen tornadoes hit Iowa last night.
Yeah,
so it's pretty bad. I'm a delivery driver, and basically my entire route got hit yesterday, so pretty scary.
What?
Shit. Yeah, it was pretty bad. So it was a very scary night last night, but luckily, I'm good. Everybody's good that I know. Unfortunately, a lot of people out there are not. So anyway, you can go out there if you're local or you have the money or whatever, find a way to support. I really appreciate it. If you want to go out there and support and get a nice little shirt out of it, like I said, George Kittle does have a shirt. I'll try to find that. I'll put a link in the description too for you people out there to find it. I believe it's like $32 for the shirt. Like I said, all the money he is earning, all the money that's coming from it is going to help those people that got affected by it. So, here it is. It is, it's on barstoolsports.com. And you just search for Iowa, and it'll be the first shirt that pops up.
Okay.
So, really cool out there. It was a scary situation yesterday. Obviously, downside of living in the Midwest is, it's kind of like, that's something we got to deal with a lot out here. So, if you can support in any way you can, please do. Like I said, I went ahead and just bought those shirts today. But any other way you can go out there and support, I really appreciate it if you could do that. But no real good way to kind of segue out of that one. This is a podcast where Gables and I get together every week, talk about video games, everything we love about them. If you like this, want to support us any way you can, please like, follow, subscribe, check us out. We're on everything. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. You can see Gable's brand new shirt there if you watch us on YouTube. Hit that like button right there. Leave a comment. Tell your friends. We're on any podcast service. Just look for us. You'll find us, Drunk Nerds, Drunk Dash Nerds. Right there, the man, the myth, the legend. Ready, Willing, and Gable over there. I wish I would have bought that shirt for you. Gables, I got some good news for you.
Yes, what's up?
So I got a few games this week as well.
Okay.
Before we get into the news. I mentioned it last week. I had a certain game come in that was going my mail. I mentioned my mail gets delivered to my parents' house because I don't want my shit stolen. Unfortunately, one of those things getting delivered to my parents was the copy of Stellar Blade.
Okay.
And I said my worst fear is because I have my parents use my Amazon account. And my worst fear is my parents would see the copy of the game. Well, because of all the storms going on, my dad was home on Friday.
Okay.
And then I ended up having to work late because I was running behind because all the storms going on Friday. My sister had ordered something as well. Oh. And it was in the box with said copy of Stellar Blade. I get the notification. Your package is 10 stops away. I'm like, okay. It's like 2:00. I'm like, I'm hours away from being able to go get that. Luckily for me, my dad never checked the cameras, never even noticed that I got delivered. But my mom got home about 5, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But she did not realize there was a package at the front door because they go into the side door. So Gables, after work Friday, I always go to the store, grab my shit. So I was like, my sister had to work. Luckily, she didn't get home until about 7:15. I got off work a little after 6. ran through the grocery store as fast as I could. Never got done shopping so fast. Missed a couple things. I have to go back now. But good news is, Gables, I was able to, I went out there, I pulled up. I'm like, all right, cool. God damn it. They're going to, like, I was all nervous. And then I went up there up front. Box still sitting there. Grab my shit, take it out of the box, put it in my car, go bring their box in, grab my dog, go home. We're good, Gables. Nobody knows, Gables. It's just me that knows that I'm playing Stellar Blade, and that's it. And then everybody else here now too. So I'm good. I made it.
You are so lucky. Awkward conversations
about this game I'm playing. So
you're fucking so lucky, dude, because everything that could have went wrong right there.
Yeah.
It's packaged with your sister's, like, delivery. It's like your dad was there, but he didn't pay attention. Then your mom came there and didn't notice the packages. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I needed three things to go right for me, for them not to notice, and all three went right for me, and it's a miracle. So the video game gods were on my side that day. So I got my copy of that. I did another Crab Treasure. That's on Game Pass. I didn't buy it, but I have it on Game Pass. I'm gonna play that eventually. And then Tales of Kazira is out. I did buy. I've yet to play that. Came out Tuesday. It was kind of one of those things where it's like brand new game came out, but I'm like, I know I'm not gonna be able to beat this before. Even though I heard it's like 10, 12 hours, I'm like, I know I'm through. Excuse me, I had to talk to a burp there. I knew I wasn't going to be able to beat it before Stellar Blade came out. So I'm like, I'm just going to wait. So I'll go back, play those ones later. Right now I'm focused on Stellar Blade. Talk about that more later at the end of the show. But I just wanted to give a little recap to people that maybe listened to the podcast last week. I broke it out. I made it separately as a clip on our YouTube channel. So if you guys maybe want a little recap of what happened there, that's what happened. So I'm good for now. Anyways, unless I die and my parents see that copy before I'm able to trade it in. So I'm not through the woods yet, but I'm starting off pretty good. But Gables, let's get into what we've been playing. But let's get into some of the news this week. Okay. Not a lot going on. I thought it was like, I was telling Gables for the show, I'm like, man, like putting together the show notes this week is going to be so easy because there's so much shit happened. In the weeks where there's so much has happened, it's almost like you're just cutting stuff out. It's like almost stressful because I'm like, there's too much stuff to talk about. I'm like, man, every week seemed like there's a lot of stuff going on. And then I realized, no, there's just like seven review embargoes happened this week. There's no news. Luckily, something did happen, though, Gables. This happened on Friday. We've got some more information kind of coming in as the day progressed today. So some more news about the Nintendo Switch 2. And I know I keep saying this, Gables, that I don't want to talk about this all the time.
Yes.
Unless it's like something major happening and there's some solid sources that are talking about it.
Okay.
And this right here seems pretty solid. Some other people have been talking about that. Pyro, the guy that knows everything about Nintendo Directs where they happen, has talked about it. Central Links talked about it. The guy that leaked information about the OLED talked about it. And some of the information that's coming from is kind of like, so typically when like a lot of leaks happen, like we had the Fire Emblem leak a couple of years ago for the what was that last one that came out last?
Engage.
Yeah, the Fire Emblem Engage came out. Like apparently the game had been done for like over a year. But like 6 months before it was even announced, all of a sudden we started seeing screenshots of like the people with the Pepsi hair and shit. And like, and like the screenshots we saw, like all the stuff was in like Chinese, if I remember correctly. So typically when like these big kind of leaks come out, it's usually something that happened in China. And sounds like what's going on here is some of this information is coming from leaks from on the manufacturing side in China. So that's kind of what's going on. Yeah, so that's where it sounds like this stuff is coming from. Not confirmed, but it seems like that's what's happening here. And based off of past, you know, stuff that's happened, that sounds, you know, sounds pretty accurate. Some of the stuff that we have here, it's mostly Joy-Con related. Switch 2's Joy-Con controllers will attach to the console magnetically as current Joy-Cons connect to a Switch using a rail system. So that kind of came out. Before, and this was some updated stuff today, apparently the Switch 1 Joy-Cons and Pro Controllers will work on the Switch 2, but only via Bluetooth. So obviously the Joy-Cons won't connect. Like obviously they can't slide onto the Switch 2, but you can still use them. So you can, like, if you have the weird goofy controller thing, it looks like a sad dog, you have that. Or like if you want, like, you know, like I have like 12, I think, Joy-Cons at this point. I don't know why. It's so stupid, but I have them. So that's something that's still apparently the new Switch Joy-Cons will still use HD Rumble. Yeah. So I don't really know what's using that though at this point. But anyways, Switch 1 game cards will be supported on the Switch 2, but the new Switch 2 cards will not fit on a Switch 1. So I wonder if that means, you know, obviously they're going to change the form factor of it, but I also wonder if that maybe, obviously this thing's probably going to be a lot more powerful graphically. So maybe they're going to have bigger cards. I don't know how that's, you know, obviously I don't know like if it necessarily needs bigger cards, but I can see them making it bigger. So that way people maybe don't try to cram it into the old one and it breaks or something. The new Joy-Cons are larger and magnetically attached using a electromagnet to secure them. The SL, SR buttons are metallic now. There are two new buttons, one behind the Joy-Con and one below the home button. No idea what that means or what's going to change exactly. Some differences about the dock we have here. The dock will still use USB-C and will have some 4K support. Don't know what that means, obviously. It means 4K, but who knows if the things can actually do 4K. The new dock looks pretty similar to the current dock. The main difference is that one side is more rounded. The kickstand has a damping bracket for improved adjustments. So I know the OLED dock apparently is better, and like yes, the little kickstand is supposed to be better as well. Yes. On the new one, I've never used one, so I don't know. I still have my launch Switch.
So basically, Tyler, it's for the OLED Switch stand and stuff. It's basically the size of almost the entire back of the system instead of like.
So it's better support.
It does have better support. Yeah. It's like you can just literally just lift it up and stuff, and it just basically it's like an entire half of like the system itself instead of like with a regular Switch where you just have a nub where
it's
you
a
just put that
thing
where you feel like you're gonna break it off as soon as you try to freaking just pull it.
Yeah. I've ever heard people like I remember when that thing came out and people were like talking about putting it on the plane and trying to set it down. Like that was like the first thing they tried. And they said it went terribly. So I don't think I've ever even tried to take the kickstand out of my Switch. So and then they said the screen is gonna be 8 inches and will support 1080p. Up to 1080p rather. So that's kind of the information we got here. A lot of curious information right now. Gable's kind of like coming off of this, like assuming this is all true, how are we feeling?
Okay, the questions come up right now in terms of the whole electromagnetic stuff, in terms of the batteries, in terms of like just the controller stuff in general for me, because one of the best controllers that did it right was the Dreamcast, because it also had sort of similar sort of like gyro type of things to where it's not like plastic on plastic or something, and you're not grinding over time. It's more or less sort of like I forget the term of what it was called, though, but the reason why a lot of, like, Dreamcast analog sticks did not wear out over time and got stick drift is because they were using some form of magnets or something to help, like, stick... Not just stick, though, but, like, there was something along those lines of those analog sticks that were fairly good and that did not rely upon the traditional means, like, what other console makers have done with their, like... controllers up until this point, you know. I'm kind of wondering if it's something similar to that, or if it's just like something that's like kind of a little bit different than that. Because when I think of electro, like magnetic type of stuff and things are supposed to be sticking on via magnet stuff, I'm thinking of a couple things. Like, I'm thinking, how long of a shelf life is this magnet going to be going and like working? Then another thing is like, because of the length of this stuff, it's like, if it eventually does go out, am I just going to see, like, say, for example, if this thing hooks on connectedly to the side of the system without a rail system or something that what the current Switch has for their support for their Joy-Cons, is it going to be one of those things to where, unless it has something, like, holding those things into place, is this just going to be kind of separate that plugs into the sides of the system itself? Because if that's the case, then if those magnets were to wear out, those little controllers are going to just fall off, you know? They're not going to keep themselves on.
Gables, the good news is Nintendo's really good about making sure that their Joy-Cons never, ever, ever have issues about anything ever for the entirety of the generation of the console.
Oh, God. Because
the form factor is fantastic.
Dude, I don't argue about the form factor, really, of, like, the Joy-Cons itself. I mean, I hate the button placement. I hate how cramped the damn Joy-Cons are, and I also... think it's probably one of the worst like controller designs in terms of what Nintendo's come up with.
Gables. Thank you. So I've been so scared to say it for 7 years. The Joy-Cons suck.
Tyler, I'll tell you this right now. The reason why I haven't bitched so much in regards to the Joy-Con controllers is because I have a Pro Controller. And I knew from launch that I was going to be using that thing because every time I use them, my hands would cramp up. And so I got third-party Joy-Con things plugged into the little rail system of my Switch OLED
so I can actually
play it.
Yes! This is so great. I've never been so excited. I'm so happy. I hate these fucking things. They're terrible. This is why I think I played my Switch combined 30 hours. Uh-huh. It's over 7 years of it being around. I hate playing a thing because I try to take it with me on to work from my work break. I'm just sitting there for 30 minutes to an hour with nothing to do.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'll play this. And I play it for like 20 minutes. I'm like, I hate this. This is not comfortable. So I'm so happy, the Gables, that you agree with me. Fuck the Joy-Cons. Burn. Dude,
other than that, though, it's like, if Nintendo came out with this controller and stuff for their next system, and it's better in terms of the quality of, say, the joystick, you know, the analog stick, I should say, I mean, I would be more welcome for that. But we're coming across a couple different questions and stuff now that comes up, because if you're using like a different proprietary things, it's like they're going to have their own, obviously, little individual issues as well. But as I welcome these type of changes, as long as the controllers, the little controllers work well, if the magnetic stuff works well and stuff, and it doesn't have like a bunch of the really nuisances that the regular Switch has, I mean, I'm fine with that. As it comes to the game card stuff, I mean, I'm kind of expecting the new system not to work with the old system anyway. I mean, come on, this is the Nintendo commonality, as is for, obviously, for every other game system that's come out and stuff. The new games are not generally going to work on the older systems.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they want you to buy the new systems.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting that, yeah. But, yeah, Go ahead.
Well, I was saying, it's like, as far as like being a little bit, possibly like a little bit bigger than like the Switch cards or whatever the heck and stuff, I'm thinking of like DS to 3DS and stuff, to where it's like you have the little squares in terms of the DS cards, and all of a sudden the 3DS one comes out, there's this little lip or something on the side of it. They keep you from trying to plug it into the old system. I'm thinking it along those lines, because the Switch is like, it's lanky. It's like, it's small, but it's like lanky to an extent. So all I'm expecting now is like, if they're going to keep on the line, I'm just going to see like these little two little lips or something like that, but the side, it kind of look like a little miniature dog or some shit.
Yeah. What if they just make them thinner, but longer? It's like the size, it's like thick as a toothpick, but it's like fucking like a foot long. It actually goes into the side of the console. It goes all the way through it. That'd be pretty sweet.
If it slipped by the game card or something on the side of the console, I think that would throw a lot of people off, because they're so used to traditionally plugging it into the top of the system or the bottom of the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gables, the 3DS. I said for a long time, consoles need more holes. You know? I'm tired of doing the front, I'm tired of doing the back. I want to do the side sometimes, you know? Let's get a little crazy with it, you know? I've been saying that for a lot of years now. I've always been out there looking for the most fuckable console. And they put that cartridge on the side. We might have a new contender here. So, but I don't know, like, obviously making the Joy-Cons bigger, I think is definitely the right move. I know they probably made them more for the children. I probably say it's most likely for the children. It's definitely not for, I don't know what adult or teenager they would think those would be comfortable for, especially if you're just using one. I remember just trying to play Mario Party, the first Mario Party that came to that thing. And like playing with some other people, and I'm like, this sucks. I have 12 of these Joy-Cons. Half of them have fucking drift, and then even when like they do work, it's like, this is uncomfortable. And then we're doing like half the time I'm doing a weird jerk off motion. So, but I doubt they're gonna fix that. But yeah, making them bigger. The magnet thing, like, I don't know. I don't know how magnets work. I'm not a scientist. I'm assuming
the magnet, Tyler.
I'm not the master of magnets. If anything, I'm the master of the anti-magnet. at least that's what women tell me. anyways, I imagine, like, obviously, like, Joy-Con drift stuff aside, I kind of think that, like, they have an idea and plan of, like, this thing's going to work long-term, like, 4 or 5 years. Like, you're, you know, we're talking about, like, they make the shit like they consider these things toys, and like they're like yes. they plan on families and children playing this thing. Like if your kid fucking drops on the floor and there's some dust in the floor and a bunch of dust gets on it, and now it doesn't work, or like they decided to dunk it in the fishbowl and get it water, and I imagine it's still gonna like there's something's gonna work there, like you know, like so I don't know, like I gotta assume I like I said I'm not the master of magnet cables. I'm sorry, I'm not. I know that's what you wanted. That's what everybody clicked on this podcast for, is because they want to listen to the master of magnets. I'm not him. I'm not that guy. Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad is the master of magnets. Magnets, bitch. Yeah, I like the idea of him like possibly being bigger. Like assuming all this is true, and I don't know. I feel like a decent chance. The dock being bigger. I know like they fixed a lot of like people's issues with the dock. With the OLED version with like doesn't like. There's no chance of like your screen getting all scratched up, like the original one had, or like having they actually have like a Ethernet cable in there, the USB-C having like it like all like works up there, because like mine's a fucking mess. Like it's just like you gotta like bend shit around to like make things plug in. Right. It's just fucking like the kickstand obviously on the back of the Switch itself. So all this altogether, like I like what I'm hearing here. Like I know some people are just like it's kind of weird. Like it's a weird thing where like some people are like kind of disappointed. Like oh, so this is all they're doing, huh? I'm like, yeah, I think that's kind of what we all want them to do, honestly, is just like just make the Switch better and just, you know, make it look better, make games run better. It'd be nice if games can at least run at 30 frames per second at launch, you know? That'd be nice. But that's really what I want. Like, I just want a better running, more like comfortable. Cause like, I'd definitely be more tempted to play one of these things handheld, if like I can hold it comfortably and the buttons aren't garbage.
Absolutely. I mean, the form factor is definitely going to be the most important for the new system. And quite honestly, I would much rather have a system right now from Nintendo to where not only are the controllers better, not only is the quality of what I'm playing in terms of performance better, but if it does have additional things that are going to help in terms of maybe like DLSS, like scaling things to make it yes. seem like it's 60 frames per second, or, you know, 4K, just 1080. these little cuts here and there and stuff to make it almost like a magic type of thing to where you are getting like 4K, like 60 frames or something like that, or whatever, you know, having that type of option would definitely be better than say what the current Switch is right now, which was already running on old technology anyway, and old mm-hmm. like processors and all this other stuff from like yeah. even like a few years before the Switch came out. I mean,
yeah, it was old when it launched.
Yeah, it was old when it launched. That novelty has ended in terms of what people want. I mean, it's already plateaued to an extent of what people, because the Steam Deck is available, the ROG Ally is available, you have all these different options in terms of handheld consoles and stuff that you can play your games on. I mean, granted, you have to have an account with Steam and stuff in order to transfer some things, or you maybe download some emulators and stuff like that and work it that way. But
allegedly,
that's what some people may want to do, though. But in terms of what people want, they want a handheld that they can play the latest games on. They want the controls to feel good. They want the battery life to be better. They want something that's, well, workable, you know? Something yeah. that they want to play games on, not like a hindrance, like, say, what some parts of the original Nintendo Switch here has, to where the controls feel tight, you know, in terms of, like, their Joy-Cons and stuff. And so most of the time, some people, not saying all, but some people like to put it on the dock and just play it on their TV with their Pro Controller or whatever type of third-party controller they want to use and stuff with it. Or hell, maybe even go one bit like beyond or something and get like a little adapter or something so they can connect Bluetooth with, like, say, their PS5 or their Xbox like Series X controller, you know? It's mm-hmm. it's definitely a lot of variations and stuff, but that's kind of a bad sign if, like, say, the ergonomics of your freaking Joy-Cons or something are like to that extent to where people have to find alternatives to just enjoy playing their Nintendo games or their whatever type of games they want to play on your system, you know? So you have that, the shoddy online, which I don't even know if Nintendo is even going to fix a lot of that.
Yeah, I have no expectations for that.
That's honestly part of the reason why it's like I've kind of drifted from like playing online games from that system in general. I just basically have Switch Online because it has the library of classic games I love to play, you know? If not for that, I wouldn't even have gotten a lot of that freaking online stuff for like the past 5 years at this point. But it's not going to take a lot in order to impress certain people as long as you give them what the Nintendo Switch did well, which was bring console games on the go, and then you have that access point whenever you want to wait at places, or you don't have enough time, or probably don't have enough money to invest inside of a PC or like a freaking full-on PS5 or next Xbox console or whatsoever. So, yeah, who knows? I'm looking forward to what they come up with this next system.
Yeah, I think like we're I think most people, most gamers at this point, they're like, at least that own a Switch or whatever, I think we're all like they plan on playing, that are fans of their games. Like, I don't, we don't want, we just want a better version of what the old one was. That's all we want. Especially, like
Right.
we're on year eight of this thing, and it's like I think a lot of people are just kind of like, you kind of see that usually, like as like the, like we have generations mainly because like it kickstarts the gaming industry, you know? That's why everybody keeps saying just survive to 25, because we're waiting for this. We're waiting for Grand Theft Auto 6, and we're waiting for Switch 2 to come out. They give it a little shot in the arm to the industry, and
Yep.
yeah, like I've been thinking about this a lot, Gables, and I keep hearing people like I think a lot of people like just assume when the Switch 2 comes out that it'll just continue on, like the momentum will just keep going with
That's
this
not a
new one.
guarantee.
No, and that's not like they can easily fuck it up. Like, I think most people, like, if you would have like gone into like the 360, going to the Xbox One era, like nobody thought they were like what was gonna happen was gonna happen. Like, no one could have guessed it first off. But like,
Absolutely.
I think most people that were like in that generation, the vast majority was like, I'm just buying an Xbox One because that's like where my friends are at, and that's where the games are. Like, that's the games I play are at on there. I already like started a little bit of a library going at that point, and it's like I'm just going there. And then obviously they bungled it, and then tides turn from there. So it's like we've seen, Nintendo Wii with the Wii U, we've seen, obviously with the PS3, like we've seen them all fuck up
Yep.
when they had all the momentum, and momentum can stop like that. We've seen Nintendo take the momentum back like that with the Switch.
Multiple
They,
times they've taken momentum back.
yes, yeah, they will not die. Yeah, like I don't think they're like, I don't think they're like, I think like it's kind of like the weird thing of like we talk about, like we look at like the PS5 right now, and everybody's just kind of like, oh man, like, oh, they're like they're not doing as well as the PS4. And like I've talked about this before, like there's only been two home consoles ever in gaming history that have sold more than 100 million units. That's the Nintendo, or three now, three, I'm sorry, three. That's the Wii, the PS2, and the PS4. Like, that is like an anomaly. Most consoles like don't do that. Like, most con like
No.
the Xbox One sold like around 60 million units, and that's pretty good. That's good still. That's like, that's kind of probably like, you take those three out, that's probably the average, honestly, of like what you look at, like the, I think the PS3 and Xbox 360, as big as the 360 was, sold about 80 million units, you know?
Yeah.
And like, that was the peak era of console gaming, was in that, was that era right there. So I think like we talk about, like we look at, like, or we look at, we look, well, I guess the Switch now is the fourth console. I keep forgetting that. I keep forgetting. So I'm adding consoles. I go, they also sold over 100 million units. But I look at the Switch, we're like, I look at the Wii U as like, that's an anomaly. That
Yep.
can't happen again. That probably will never happen again. But I also look at the Switch a little bit, could be a little bit of an anomaly. A lot of things went their way that like a lot, they had
Yep.
a lot of breaks that like, well, some bad breaks where like I've talked about this a lot, where basically they gave up on the Wii U. Like 2014 was like, that was like the last hurrah. We had Splatoon after that. We had some like some, those like C and D tier games come out towards the end of that thing to
Right.
keep it going. But they basically had 2, 3 years to build games up in a library to then put out. We had that awesome first like 9 months on the market of like banger after banger every month for basically, like I said, like what, from March to November, every month we
Yep.
had a big game come out. They had a bunch of really great games that came to the Wii U that nobody played, that when they didn't have a game coming out for a while, they can just pull one of those ports and port it over to the console, and boom, we see Mario Kart 8, one of the best selling games ever for Nintendo was a Wii U game.
Yep.
And it's the biggest game they've ever made, and it's on the Switch. You know, we've seen they've been able to backfill that with everything's going on. There was a global pandemic that hit that gave it, like, when we talk about like the PS5, like we're like what, 3 years in, we're in the fourth year now of that console, and we had the guy that runs PlayStation saying, you know, they've hit the peak of what they think PS5 will do. It's still going to sell, but like it's not going to hit the numbers they did, you know, 2022, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Year four of the Switch was 2020.
Yep.
And I remember, like, and that thing, like, you couldn't find that thing for over a year.
I remember,
like, my ex, we wanted to buy her, because her nephew would always come over here, because he would always want to play my Switch. That's all he would do. He would want to come over, and he would sit there and just play the Switch. He just played Mario Kart and Smash Brothers nonstop. Almost every weekend he'd come over here and play that. So we wanted to buy him a Switch. And the only thing I could find was a Switch Lite. I felt terrible. I couldn't find them, like, because everywhere was wiped out. And, like, if you want to go on eBay and buy one, 4 years into this thing, you had to go on eBay and spend $100 over the value at the store 4 years later, because that's how big this thing was. So there a lot of things. Obviously, the games were there. You take out all the Wii U. I'm not trying to talk shit. I'm not trying to take away anything from the Switch. Switch is one of the greatest consoles of all time. Probably it's probably the greatest Nintendo console of all time. And if people tell me it's their favorite console of all time, I don't have an argument against you. Like, you know what?
I wouldn't blame you.
No, I don't blame you either. Like, that's great. It's probably, if I had to make like a top five list, it might be in there for me. But I think a lot of things went their way to like make this thing as big as it was. And obviously it was bigger before COVID. It got bigger after COVID. But you know, we talk about, they just delay this thing from this holiday to next year because the games weren't there. So we're going into an era where like they're delaying this thing 3, 4, 5 months to make sure they have games ready to go for this thing and have them coming at a decent pace. And we've seen, like, there's been periods in this generation where like they didn't have anything coming for like a whole, like for like 2020, like they had Animal Crossing and that was it. I think we had like Paper Mario Color Splash. 2021, we didn't have much either. 2022, 2023 were pretty good years. Obviously, we had a fucking Zelda last year, so that's a pretty great year. But like 2024, this year is like, I mean, we're getting fucking GameCube remasters, you know?
And
like,
I know, right?
Don't get me wrong. We're getting a fucking Luigi Mansion 2 remaster this year. Like,
yes,
it's a media. It was an okay game on the 3DS, you know, over a decade ago. Like, we're getting, you know, like. That's what we're looking at right now. So, like, obviously it's a rough year, like, but, and obviously you can argue, oh, they're building shit up for the next console, which yeah, they should be. That's smart. But I don't think it's gonna be like, I think gamers should look at it like this. If you're someone that's like going, I think almost look at it as like the PS5, where maybe it doesn't sell 100 million, and that's okay.
Right.
And I think Nintendo should not expect it either. You know, like, if this thing comes out and it sells 70, 80 million units, that should be considered a win. Because every time we've seen 100 million unit console sold, like PS2, there was no competition. GameCube was a flop. Yep. Xbox was the first console of Microsoft. They were building something. We look at the Wii was something different. It was a revolution. No pun intended there. It was a revolution. It was a fad more than anything. It was so different. It was bigger than video games. It was its own thing. It was fucking, I don't know, Furbies. You know, it was just like this crazy moment in time that happened. You look at PS4, there was no competition. Xbox One, we talked about, fucked it up. The Wii U, disaster. The Switch come out, totally different at that point. And it came out towards the end of the life cycle of the PS4 and Xbox One. Where, like, we talk about half about that time, that was year four of those consoles. So those consoles have peaked. Here comes the Switch. Boom, comes out. Ton of great games. Totally different type of thing. The Switch, something we've never seen before. And now we're going into this era where you mentioned the Steam Deck's out there now. The Rogue Ally is out there now. Xbox and PlayStation are working on their own Switch-type consoles. You know, I think when the Xbox next console comes out, whatever you want to call it, we have the X and then we have the S, the Series S and X right now. I think we won't have an S on the next console. I think the S will be the handheld.
Yep.
So I think
I kind of feel that way too.
If we have like, if you want the big hot thing, boom, here it is. It's that, you want the X, whatever you want to call it. Like you can buy that, but if you want something a little less powerful, but it can do all the things you want, but it's less powerful. And maybe, I don't know, maybe like you buy a dock separately and you can still dock it at home. Like for me personally, that's the thing I would be super excited to buy. Like I'd love, like, instead of buying, paying $600-$700 for the next Xbox Series X type console, maybe I spend $400 and I get the handheld and I could dock it and play it at home. And if the PlayStation, maybe do the same thing. I don't know, maybe they won't dock it, but if they, like, the PS6 has their own type of thing like that, or but maybe they haven't before then. It's not out of the ordinary, like, or it's not out of the ordinary, but it's not crazy to believe that maybe next year, into 2025, we're getting an Xbox and PlayStation handheld there, like the Steam Deck. Like, it's not crazy to think. So I think, they created the market of the Switch, or what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they
did.
And now
we're going into a very crowded market, and there's going to be new competitors out there for them. We're seeing more types of Steam Decks or Rogue Allies out there. It's third-party style ones. We're talking about PlayStation, Xbox potentially most likely getting into these, especially Xbox. Sounds like it's very likely. I think, like I said, I don't think the Switch 2 is going to be a failure. Like, I think if the Switch 2 is a failure, either the games aren't there or Nintendo royally screwed this whole thing up.
Yes.
But Nintendo makes great games. They're the best first-party developer out there. Like, maybe not for me. I prefer the PlayStation first-party games over Nintendo, but I understand it, and I can't argue that Nintendo is better at PlayStation when it comes to making first-party games, and at faster rate. But we talk about, like, games take longer than ever now to develop. Like, it took 6 years to get the sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Yes, it did.
And they reused the old map. Obviously, I'm not saying, it's just DLC. I'm not saying that. Obviously, it's a wildly different game than Breath of the Wild. But they reused the same. They reused a lot of assets. It still took 6 years to make it. They're not doing that again. They're making a whole new thing. They've said they are. Like, so where are we at with that? Are we going to get, like, I think, like I said before, I think GameCube, I said this last year, that I thought GameCube was, like, the new thing that Nintendo realized. That generation is old enough now that there's nostalgia for that those people will rebuy those games again. Now we're seeing that right now this year with them. We're seeing, like, with the Bait and Kaidos games are getting fucking remastered. We're seeing Thousand Year Door getting remade. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a new era that they realize that they can market off of us, and we'll buy that. And we're going to buy that. Like, I'm going to buy Thousand Year Door. Like, I have this, that's the era that we have nostalgia for. Oh, Gables, absolutely. By the way, do you know what, today, today I believe is the anniversary of, if I have this correctly, I saw this on Twitter, so obviously take this with a grain of salt.
Okay, so April 27th,
a game that came out on the Wii U 10 years ago.
That came out on the Wii U 10 years ago?
Yes.
So we're talking about 2014.
Yes. I could be wrong, but I saw, obviously took this on Twitter, take it with a grain of salt. Don't know that. Someone tweeted this today and it blew my fucking mind.
I would guess Super Mario Maker?
No. That's 2015. That's next year. Holy shit, that's next year. Wind Waker HD is now 10 years old.
Oh, you are correct. Wind Waker HD is 10 years old. That released in 2014. And most hilarious part about it is I think I streamed that game during an Extra Life as well.
Yeah. So, that's a crazy time we're living right now, Gables. And we're probably gonna get the ports of Twilight Princess and Wind Waker here this year as well. So. I don't know. Like I said a lot there, Gables. I rambled for a long time. I do apologize for that. But I mean, I don't know. Is there anything, like, this is something I just think about a lot? Is there anything you disagree with? Like, to be honest with me, like, anything you disagree, like, anything you want to add on to that? Like, what are you thinking about the Switch 2 of, like, I don't know, like, where are your expectations? Do you think they'll keep the momentum? Like, do you think, am I wrong in any stance there?
I believe it depends upon what games that they have at launch, first and foremost, because the most important thing about a system, when it's unveiled, what are the games that are going to be available day one, and what are the games that are going to be available over the next year?
Yes.
Because that will dictate whether or not a game console is successful or whether or not it's going to be a hard pass for people. Obviously, storage. Obviously, form factor, like we just got done discussing about for the system itself. But also in terms of what makes this different than the previous Switch, that's going to be something that's going to be at the forefront that people are going to be asking questions about, because you do not want a Wii to Wii U situation where there's no clarification, where there's no clarification if it's even like a console, it's just a additional controller that people misinterpreted. But if we had, for example, what we could see, like, for say game-wise and stuff, other system and stuff, we would definitely know. Like, for example, if the next 3D Mario is a launch game there and forth, this next Nintendo system, that's obviously going to entice a lot of people to want to buy the system at launch. If you have full backwards compatibility to regular Switch games, which, yeah, that should be a standard, and that should be a given and stuff, okay, that's going to entice people. Okay, maybe I can just move my account and my games and stuff over to this next system, barring some catastrophe that happens to your account. But as far as, say, the future and stuff, I think the Switch 2 is definitely going to be in a crowded market, because you brought up the good points of Microsoft and PlayStation potentially having their own Steam Deck-like or Switch-like handhelds that they could go through and compete entering into this market, because of seeing the success of not only the Switch, but because of other companies delving themselves into the pool, you know, dunking themselves into the pool. Steam with a Steam Deck. Like ROG Allies stuff from I forgot what exactly the brand was for that company. But I'm just saying, it's like you have all these different companies that are now making their own Switch-like systems, their own Asus. Portable PCs. Quintessentially. Yeah, Asus. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Asus, ROG Ally, and stuff. But it comes up to, what's this next system going to have that those systems, like, say, why should I, say, put down the Switch or put down the Steam Deck or put down the ROG Ally and stuff in favor of a Switch 2 or in favor of a portable Xbox or a portable PlayStation, you know? That's the biggest question. That's one of the biggest questions that people are going to want to ask and stuff. But immediately, the number one thing that they have to hit from the gate is what games are available at launch.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you nailed it. That's the thing I've been harping about for a long time now. Is like, it's not what's on day one. What am I playing 3 months from now? What am I playing 6 months from now? And like, they had to absolute home run with, we had like what, we had ARMS, Splatoon 2, Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle,
yep,
and Mario Odyssey, like the first year, like brand new games, not even counting the ports. Forget
Breath of the Wild as well.
Yeah, Zelda launch, yeah. So, I think you're 100% right. That's another great point. Yeah, I think they're gonna have that Mario game at launch, but like, say they have that in March. Cool, what's the big game I'm going to be playing? Like, is Mario Kart the big game in November, you know?
Is it going to be, a Metroid game at launch? Maybe Metroid Prime 4? I mean, we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Metroid Prime 4, if that's the launch game, like I've said, like, it's, I've said over and over again, like, I think, like, they typically like to have two games at launch. I think Metroid, I've said time and time again, Metroid Prime 4, I think, is too small to be a launch game, and it's too big to be the B game. So,
right.
I hope that game comes out this year, because, I worry that game might get lost in the shuffle a little bit if it's not. So let's, you know, I don't know. So, but yeah, we went really long on that, but hey, not a lot going on this week, guys. So, let me know what you think. If I'm crazy on that, people, let me know. Unless you're like a weird, Nintendo hater or like crazy fanboy, then just keep your opinion to yourself. But, otherwise, let me know what you think. Actually, you know what? Yeah. Comment for the comment, cause more people that comment, helps the algorithm. So let me know. Tell me I'm an idiot. That's fine. I get told all the time, so it's usually myself. Anyways, next topic here, guys. We got a cool little thing going on Monday, at 10 a.m. Pacific time. We are getting an Xbox Indie Showcase. That's right. April 29th. That is Monday, correct? Yes, that is Monday.
Okay.
Some of the games that, so they, I don't know, they didn't say, I don't think they said how long it's going to be. I couldn't find anything on that. But they did announce Dungeons of Hindenburg will be there. That's a really cool game. They showed up multiple times now. It's coming to Game Pass. It's supposed to come out this year. It's like this really cool, like really great art design. Like I think it's like takes place like, I don't know, could be wrong, like a Sweden or something like that. But it's like a woman that's like, she's like snowboarding, but it's also like an action game. So she's like fast paced, like snowboarding around combat. Like almost like a hack and slash style combat on a snowboard. And then like there's also like a town where like you can also have like relationships type of thing. So it's like a little more of a social element to it as well. It looks really cool. I've been kind of not like super jazzed for that one, but it's definitely a game that's like on my list of like games I want to check out. 33 Immortals is another great looking game that like people don't remember. That is that top down game that is like a roguelike dungeon crawler, but it is 33 people playing together on this, like 33 online people playing together at the same time. So it looks pretty incredible. And the thing I am most excited for sure, is Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, baby. We're going to see some gameplay on that one. If people don't remember, that is Don't Nod, who created Life is Strange. This is kind of looks like the return. So we got this, got this, that got teased at Summer Game Fest. No, Game Awards last year, I believe. This is like the return to form of the Life is Strange games. This was coming this year as well. Super excited for that one. That's probably honestly one of the games I'm most looking forward to. I'll say like maybe Hellblade. At this point, maybe the most excited I am for a game the rest of the year is Lost Records. Just I know it's like we got a little teaser trailer, but like just for the thought of like, man, if Don't Nod goes back to that fucking Life is like goes back to Life is Strange style game, I'm in. I'm all in. And there's gonna be a lot of others. But those are the three things that we know for sure will be there. So not too much to add on Gables. I think we've had a lot of really great indie and third-party showcases this year. So how excited are you? Are you pretty excited for this one?
Honestly, I wasn't even aware that there was going to be an indie showcase coming from Microsoft on Monday. So, yeah, that's sort of a surprise to me. But, yeah, I have low expectations, so I'm going to see what's going to go on. I'm kind of curious to see how 33 Immortals has been shaping up, because that's something I've been sort of interested in, considering I am starting to get on a kick of roguelike stuff as of late, so it's just really kind of weird. Well, you are talking about the dude that spent 92 hours playing Elden Ring and actually beat it.
Yeah, that's true. You still play Vampire Survivors, so I don't know what I'm talking
about. Oh, yeah, I love that game.
Yeah, it's a great game, but I was able to break the addiction. You're still hooked.
Well, to be perfectly honest, though, I haven't really played that game in like in a couple months.
Really?
Yeah.
You get your chip for it, like for being clean and sober for Vampire Survivors, or?
Well, stop sending me mine. Well, that's just the thing, though. I haven't played any Vampire Survivors because I'd be so interested in playing like other games like Balatro and plus freaking Yu-Gi-Oh! On the PS5, dude.
Okay, well, never mind. We're going to bring that chip right back to playing Yu-Gi-Oh! So that's the gateway drug. It's like, I'm done doing coke. Or it's like, I'm done doing meth. I'm just doing coke now. So that's the difference. So, I'm pretty excited for this one. I think we've had two really good Nintendo indie directs this year. Like, if you're a fan of gaming out there, and I see a lot of people talking about, oh, this is a bad year for gaming. Like, it's not going to be a great year for first-party stuff, maybe even some on the third-party side, but, man, indies have just been holding up the fucking boat, you know?
Oh, yeah.
This year on gaming. It's been a great year for indie games, so...
It's nuts, dude.
Yeah, so I think it potentially could get even better if we get some more games announced, especially if we get some release dates, which I'm... Dungeon of Hindenburg, we've seen a couple times. 33 Immortals, we saw last year at Summer Game Fest for their Xbox event, and then... Lost Records, I'm assuming at least release dates or windows for all of those. But moving on here to some other news this week. Just a couple things, Gables. Metaphor, Refantasio? I don't know, whatever. It's coming October 11th. And then Gables, Samus was going to be in Fortnite, but Nintendo said only if it's exclusive to the Switch. So,
yeah. That definitely sounds... along the lines of Nintendo, because they do not want their IP on other consoles.
Yeah,
or other which platforms sucks. In general. That makes a lot of sense.
It's like, oh, it's one of those things where, like, from their end, I can see it, I understand it. On their end, I'm like, come on, really?
Dude.
It's like, you can play as Halo, or I can play as Master Chief on my PlayStation right now if I wanted to.
Well, I understand that, Tyler, and stuff, but this is from the same company that freaking went after Gary's Mod for having 20 years worth of, like, Nintendo IP, like, content, like, on their fucking servers and stuff like that for PC. So if they're going to go after something as minute as that, in the grand scheme of things and stuff. Of course, they're going to go and protect the IP of something of like Metroid and stuff on a one of the biggest freaking platform games or something, you know, in terms of Fortnite, even though they just missed out on a huge payday because of that.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've seen, like, in the past with, like, Master Chief and Kratos and stuff, like, they put those games, like, you can buy them, but you have to buy them on the console. That, like, so you can only buy Master Chief on the Xbox or Kratos on the PlayStation.
Yep.
But you can still see them on the other one. I know, I forgot about this entirely, but, like, when they put Mario and Luigi cars in Rocket League, you can only see those on the Switch. So if you were playing against somebody that had a Mario and Luigi car, and you're playing on PlayStation or PC, they just had a generic car. So I didn't something that I didn't know or forgot about entirely, because that was like several years ago.
You just reminded me I have Rocket League on fucking Switch.
don't Gables, stop.
All right? I have it on all the platforms now.
I know you do, Gables. Come on, man. He's 10 years old. By the way, I looked it up. Wind Waker HD came out in 2013, so it's 11 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was wrong on that one. That's my bad. I believe what I saw on Twitter. That one's on me. I'll take the fall for that one. Should have done that. Should have done my own research. But Gables, let's get into what we've been playing. You want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
I want you to go first this time.
All right. You want me to talk about the porn game? I get it. anyways, I've been playing one game this week. It just came out yesterday. Stellar Blade. Talked about it. I'm 7-8 hours in, if you include the demos, I guess, time in there. Gables, I'm happy to say this game's a banger. It's a great game. I'm really liking it. Like, I talk about, you know, quite a bit. If you've listened for a while, not the biggest, like, Dark Souls, like, From Software game guy. Like, that's just not for me. I've tried getting the Elden Ring. I've tried getting the Bloodborne. I've tried multiple times. Obviously the difficulty, like, I don't really care for, like, the world. Like, I think the games look great, but the designs of the world just don't really do it for me. And I don't really have the patience for, like, just running into a wall over and over again. Right. You know, I eventually just kind of, like, get frustrated and move on. But I love those styles of games. I love the gameplay of it. I love, like, the loop of it. Like, it's basically just a 3D Metroidvania. I'm here for that. And that's kind of what this is, but it's a little more... I guess there is a story mode and a normal mode. I'm just playing a normal mode, obviously. But I'm just... Man, this, like, the combat feels really, really great. It's hitting that little bit of something that I've been missing, of like someone, I'm like a lot of people out there, maybe not a lot of people. There's a community of us out there that absolutely love Nier Automata, and it is definitely, this game takes a lot of like, of other games where it's just like, if you love Nier Automata, but like a Souls-like style of Nier Automata, then boy, howdy, do I have the game for you. And that's what this is. Like, the music, I talked about when I played the demo, like the music, they definitely try to hit that. I don't think that the storyline, because like the story, like, because Nier Automata is like, the gameplay is kind of whatever, but the, like, the world building and the world, like, even though it doesn't look great, it looked like a fucking PS3 game on, like, in 2017. But like the way the world looked, the design of the game, like the map, the storylines, the characters, that's what made that game. Like, it was all of that, like, you know, like, it was a fantastic story in the world with the mediocre gameplay. And this is like, they try to hit like the things, like, they try to hit the music, they try to have the style, they try to have the characters of it, but like, they don't hit the storyline of it, but the gameplay is so goddamn good. It feels so good. Like, there's some weird, like, this is definitely a AA style of that kind of gameplay portions at points. But like, man, they, like, I'm, it feels so good. The pairing, like, and also does a great thing of like someone like me that is not great at, as much as I play video games, not great at them. So like they have like in the skill tree, one of the best skill trees I've ever seen in a video game, where like almost everything in there I want. Like, some games I play where I'm like, I remember talking about Rise of Ronin, where I was playing that and I'm like, I looked at that skill tree and it was gigantic. I'm like, all of these suck. I don't want any, like, none of these are like good. Like, and that kind of kills, like, when it's like, okay, what am I, like, especially these big open world games, or like these, like, games that, like, you know, with the, like, leveling up and stuff, like, like, what am I working for then? You know? And it's like, this is the opposite. I'm like, looking at the skill tree, I'm like, this all looks fantastic. I'll take all of these. But like, some of the things you can like upgrade, like you can make parrying better, so you have a bigger parry window. Same thing with your dodge. You can add a second dodge. You can dodge back faster. There's like different abilities you can attach. Like you can make you speed up your attack. Like this kind of thing, like Elden Ring, like Souls-like games, or like the FromSoft games. I think they're kind of slow for me. Like I don't like the slowness of them. Like everything feels very heavy. And also you have the stamina bar, which is kind of annoying. This no stamina. It's just like it's very fast paced. It's almost more like they took the Souls-like gameplay, the loop, and the combat, like you know, kind of what we expect of it. But it's almost like more like a Bayonetta. Devil May Cry-ish, I guess, where it's more action combat, like more fast paced. Like I said, you don't have the stamina. Great thing is if you die, you don't lose like your souls in this case. Like you keep all that. And like, if you do die, you just end up right back for the boss. You don't like, I'm not going back to the campfire and have to run away back to where I was and then worry about dying on the way and losing all my shit. End up right from the one downside though, is like, if you have eventually down the line, like early on in the game, you unlock like you have a little robot sidekick with you that flies around with you. And like at a certain point you can like, he can turn to a gun. You can like hold L2 down and you can shoot, you know, but you have like only a certain amount of bullets you can keep on it. And not a lot, like I think like 40 or something at the beginning. And like any of those you use in that first fight against like the boss or whatever, like, and you die and you come back, you don't get those back either. So kind of sucks. Like you almost kind of like got to pick your battles. Like, or like, so maybe if you like, you're fighting a boss and you know, expect to die a couple times, maybe figure out the pattern and then try to go all in later. But it is quite annoying where it's like, if you bring in like grenades or anything, like any special items, anything you use in that battle does not come back the next battle, which sucks. Ooh. Unless you go back to like their version of a campfire and then, you know, sit and then come back. Another thing that sucks, usually, you know, like in most of these style games, like you go to like the campfire equation thing of this, the bonfire, whatever you want to call it. You activate it brings back all your shit. Like you get all, right, your health goes back up. You get all your healing items back. This, it does not do that. So you still have, like, if you go and you activate the new, like their bonfire, like it just activates it, but doesn't give you back your stuff. So you actually have to sit down, and then obviously that sucks. It brings back all the enemies in that area. So it's like, shit. Well, I kind of, you know, it's like that kind of sucks. But yeah, I'm having a great time with it. I think this game is absolutely stunning. It's absolutely gorgeous. The boss fights feel really good. It feels like very much like a, it's a AA game, but it feels like a AAA Bayonetta game.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say like the I'm not gonna say Eve is on par of Bayonetta. I think Bayonetta's actually like a character. Eve feels very, I think the voice acting is good. The storyline is kind of whatever at this point, you know, 7-8 hours in. I think like some of the side characters are kind of blah. I think the designs of them are fantastic. And I'm not just talking about like, you know, jiggly boobs here. I'm talking about the way they look, like some of the characters in the world, like the world design of these characters are great. The kind of the idea of like this game is like Earth, like a big war happened between like AI and the humans. Sounds kind of familiar. Basically like the AI won, and then like these like creatures came in and like end up killing all of the AI, and like one, they've taken over Earth essentially. And like AIs like are being brought back. Like they're like living up in space, and they come back and like they're trying to take out these creatures. I can't remember what they're called. There are humans on, like they're still living, like hiding in the world. And like, what's cool is like the idea is like basically they live a lot longer now. Like they found a way to like, you know, stop all diseases, and like basically it seems like the way they like survive longer is like obviously like your skin decomposes for a long time, but they live longer. So like they replace, it's almost cyberpunky where they replace those like decaying parts with like robots. So like there's people that have been around for a very long time, but now they're more like robot than human, you know, at that point, like as far as physical form. So it's kind of cool, like the designs of some of these characters in this game of that. I'm having a really good time like all this. I'm trying to be good about, like, I have the issue of like I go all in like doing all the side shit early in games, and then I get to a certain point I feel burnt out by the time, like, and I still have a good chunk of the game to go through before I get to the end, and it kind of like at the end sours myself on the game at the end, because I'm like, man, I was done with this game like 10 hours ago, and I, you know, I'm just like mainlining it through because I front loaded so much of the side shit and bullshit. You know, I'm trying to be better about that. I'm not trying to find everything. I am like doing some side stuff, and like it's kind of like almost like Breath of the Wilding it. I'm not saying it's as crazy and open as that, but I'm like, I'm just like going to like the thing I want to go to, and I'm like, I go off to, oh, I see a path over here. I do a thing over here. So I'm trying to be better about it. But like, man, like this game feels good. The combat feels great. Like, man, like I think it looks absolutely gorgeous. You know, like, I mean, yeah, this game, it's really good, especially from like Shift Up. This is their first actual console game. They've only made mobile games before this. Blows me away. I cannot believe that a team that's ever made a console game before put out something like this. It is like, I think it's like an 82 in OpenCritic. Blown away by it. Even like I went in with like pretty good expectations, and I am absolutely stunned by how good it is. And it is definitely feeling that hole, a little bit of that hole in my heart of like wanting the next year Nier Automata. And it is kind of like quenching that thirst that I'm having for that game. So that's honestly, that's kind of what I wanted. So I'm really happy with it so far. I'm going to keep playing more of, obviously, like maybe things will change as I go along, but I'll, yeah, like I said, I'll talk about, I'm going to play a lot more this weekend and tomorrow and before we record next week. So I'll definitely have a lot more to say next week. But Gables, what about you, buddy?
Okay. So like I mentioned before, there was a bunch of different games I did purchase this past week, and most of it was on Steam during their initial sales that they had for the last week. So one of the games I did have a chance to play was Penny's Big Breakaway. That game, in and of itself, I spent like a little over an hour. I played that. The controls do feel kind of weird at first and stuff, but you do get accustomed to it. I think the shoulder buttons is what makes like Penny's like yo-yo and stuff. You're right on top of it and stuff like that. You can go down hills and stuff. It has the basic thing like what some platformers do, where you have a button to attack stuff and you have... But what's kind of interesting for this gimmick is like you can actually use like the right analog stick to like either like use certain attacks for the yo-yo or like just do 360 motions and stuff, do like spin attacks and like it. They do a good job in terms of simplicity of what you can do with Penny in terms of maybe double jumping here or there or like rolling on your yo-yo to go fast distances and stuff. I found myself rather enjoying a lot of just like the random crazy stuff, just terraining through a level and stuff, and then just doing a little side quest inside the middle of the mission, inside the middle of the level itself, trying to help the different residents and stuff. Obviously, you play as Penny and stuff. You're pretty much on the run because your yo-yo pretty much ate all clothes and stuff of the king, and the king's just left in his underwear and stuff like that. And so he just gets so mad and stuff. He like sends his servants and is like his freaking like penguins and stuff against you and stuff. And it's kind of like almost exactly kind of like what I was thinking in terms of like say a Sega Saturn game kind of inspired as like in general, because a lot of these weird sort of like graphics, these kind of weird quirky gameplay and stuff, they do remind me of certain platformers from like the Sega Saturn, you know, like maybe a little bit of Night in the Dreams or maybe like a little bit of like some other like obscure ones and stuff, but it definitely has that Sega flair to it. That's what I'm basically just trying to get. It's like, if this game were to have released, say, in the 90s or something like that, say, like, a launch game for the Dreamcast or one of the last hurrahs, yeah, they could have fit alongside those games like Jet Set Radio or, like, Crazy Taxi or, yeah, stuff like that. But I really enjoyed the gameplay. I love the little miniature, like, things you do at the end of the levels and stuff to where you have to hit the very top of the performance, like, stage and stuff, because if you don't, then it's not going to do the complete thing of, like, the little yo-yo tricks and stuff before you end the stage. But that was a fun game experience. Let's see. The next one I had a chance to play, which was also a little bit over an hour here, is Anomaly Agent. So Anomaly Agent's kind of interesting, because it's sort of Souls-like in some aspects. I mean, you have a parry button, you have aspects to where it's a side-scroller, right? To where you're pretty much a secret agent, right? And you're trying to piece together like all these like interdimensional anomalies. And what's fascinating about it is it's like the game looks simplistic in terms of its graphical style and stuff, but the gameplay is really smooth. This action style game to where it's like a side scroller and stuff, and you have to dodge enemies and stuff and do just attacks and stuff. The gameplay feels good, and what's interesting about it is the story is almost matching that type of like uniqueness as well, to where there is just enough intrigue to where you want to go into like the next level and stuff. I had to physically stop myself because I was getting so much into that initial port that I decided just to call it a night right there. I think I only went like about three or four missions inside of Anomaly Agent, but for the attack, let's see, you have just basic attacks, like you use your fists and stuff, then on occasion you'll pick up these little guns and stuff like that that'll only good for like maybe three or four shots, but then you have to go and just do like dodge attacks or something to collect maybe more inventory for that. The boss battles are interesting though. Like, one of the boss battles is like as against a pro wrestler, right? And what's funny about this one is like he mistakes you for someone completely different, or he talks to you like he knows you, but at the same time it's like you have no recollection of even meeting this person, but yeah, he knows a little bit of details and stuff about like you in specifics, and you refer to yourself as like a different character altogether. So that's what ends up leading up to this boss fight, right? And so it's basically you try to dodge his like his big flashy attacks, but along the way you're able to just do little bits of damage here and there and stuff, whereas one of the people you come into like contact with that's been helping you along up until that point will toss you weapons and stuff. They'll toss you like little guns and stuff. And so what you're trying to do is you're trying to dodge this wrestler's like big old power, like shoulder tackles and like clotheslines and these jumps and stuff, like these body splashes and stuff. But on the way, you have to pick up these guns and you're supposed to like to shoot the wrestler and stuff as quickly as possible and stuff, and then try to do whatever. I have enjoyed the boss battle stuff so far. That's at least one of, like, a couple other types of fights you can have inside this game. I think all in all, you're supposed to be looking for five fugitives, right? And the wrestler is, like, one of the five fugitives. So he's actually one of the very first ones you get to fight against. And the battle itself is pretty fun. I did have to retry it a couple different times because the timing sometimes would be a little too quick from my reaction time. But yeah, I really did enjoy playing bits of Anomaly Agent. Story's interesting, gameplay solid, boss battles are pretty unique for what I thought was going to be. But let's see, I haven't played that game. Another game that kind of frustrated me a bit, and it's kind of the intentional thing that the game's supposed to do, is called like a game about climbing. The game about climbing. So this is sort of like a meme game. Because you know how there's these certain games that are put out on Steam or put on PC in general to where it's intentionally difficult because the controls of it are extremely kind of difficult, and that it only controls like one of the limbs or something like that at a time. You're supposed to navigate or try to kind of like with climbing or something like that with a pickaxe. I think there's one of those games that did that like a number of years ago and stuff. Well, this one... is you as a dude or something, and you basically have to use, like, motion. You have to use motion of, like, the control stick or the mouse and stuff, alongside using, on the Xbox, you have to use the shoulder, like, the trigger buttons. So, for example, each trigger button, like, on the back of the controller, would control one of the hands, grip. So you have to move like with your analog stick, right? Like up or down or something like that in order to control its momentum. So if you push up on the control, like on the analog stick, it'll propel you up. But you have to use the shoulder button, that trigger button, in order to grab like the thing of the rock or the cliff. And so you have to navigate yourself and try to figure out how do you climb up higher and higher. The whole goal is you getting to the top. But how long you're going to be able to take to get to the top is going to decide upon how fast you can do it, figuring out what shortcuts you can take without having to slide or drop all the way down. You cannot touch any type of like smooth surfaces, because if you try to grab those, you'll immediately start sliding down and stuff. I tried that game for close to about an hour, and oh my gosh, dude, it kept getting frustrating. I had to switch from playing mouse and instead try to switch to playing my Xbox controller, because it was a little bit easier when doing it with just the Xbox controller, but it was still super difficult because I would think I'd have something like grasp on, but I'd just be a little bit out of the reach and I just kept sliding down and stuff. So this is definitely the type of game where if you don't have a lot of patience of it, it's going to drive you freaking nuts. The game was only like about $10 anyway, so it's not like I really lost anything from it, and it's just one of those games you're supposed to play like a little bit over time, right? Like, say if you're in the mood and you want to try something difficult, then yeah, you could do that. It's just, It's supposed to be one of those, oh, okay, if you conquer this kind of thing, it's more representative of life. You know, you gotta check tackle these challenges. You gotta go and try to navigate yourself through this stuff. But another game that I did have a chance to play, and I'm just double checking just on my little thing if that was the last one I did play. Yes, this is one of the last games I actually played this week, and that was called Buckshot Roulette. Buckshot Roulette released, I think, around a week ago, right? It's only like about $2 and something. I think like $2.50 or something like that. So I did not have any expectations for this game. I basically went upon the Steam reviews, right? And they had a bunch, yeah, like a couple thousand people that rated this game, and it was overtly positive. I'm thinking to myself, okay, you're having a lot of positive views, like a lot of positives about this game. Well, it's only a couple bucks. Let's see. I'm gonna try this one out. So the premise of this game, Tyler, is you face off against a dealer, right? You both have shotguns. And you play this game of Russian roulette with shotguns. And so what basically happens is the dealer will go through, he'll give you a certain amount of bullets or something like that for like each round. And so you'll have, sometimes if you start off, you'll have one active bullet and then you'll have two duds. And so basically you have a couple different options of what you can do. You can use it to shoot the dealer, you can use it to shoot yourself, or you could do something else entirely, which is use different weapons to manipulate the probability and the outcome that you would win, or like really screw over like the dealer or something like that. So, for example, there are different items that will help you increase your odds of winning against the dealer. You have handcuffs, which the handcuffs will allow the
Kinky.
dealer, well, it is kinky, but at the same time, it will allow you to skip a turn. Right, so the dealer, if you use it on the dealer can't do his next turn, so it lasts for one turn. You have alcohol, you have like a can of beer, right? And so that is supposed to like, it's supposed to eject the current bullet from the shotgun, like your shotgun, right? And so you could do that. You could actually use combination different things. The next one is a magnifying glass. And so the magnifying glass allows you to check what bullets you have in the chamber of the shotgun itself. So you can only see like about two of them at a time, really. And what ends up happening is it's like you can use an item like that. You can check to see if, like, say you have a dud or something first off, or you have like an active one, but your opponent will not know that. You know, he'll know you use the magnifying glass to see what's inside, but. But the last one is a carton of cigarettes, right? A little package of cigarettes. And the cigarettes let you recover one heart. So let me tell you something. The heart system is really simplistic. You have a set amount of hearts that you have per round. You start off with three, you'll eventually go up to about maybe five or six, give it the final round with a dealer. And so, as you may expect, things can get fairly crazy rather quickly. So, for example, the first time I actually played a round or something, I got all the way to like, I think it was like the final round with a dealer. Tell you a long story short, Tyler, a run with Buckshot Roulette, like an average run, is sometimes will not last more than, say, like 20 minutes. So you could actually beat this game within 20 minutes, right?
Oh, okay.
But here's this thing. This game is pretty fucking addicting, too. And there are things you unlock after you beat initial games. Like, say, you'll unlock certain modes or something. There's one that's like double or nothing. There's like things like that sort. So, here's the basic kind of like, here's the basic the kind of thing that happened to me during this initial run, right? To where I'm figuring out the items for the first time, right? And so, I read the thing, so I have the dealer cuffed, right? And like, I have my shotgun, and then like, I freaking drink a can of beer, right? Eject the bullet without me realizing what the active bullet was. Then I go forth, I use a card to, like a pack of cigarettes and self-recover one heart in my heart meter because I'm already down to like my last heart. And then I choose to shoot the freaking dealer, knowing full well I had like maybe a 25% like probability of actually getting in an actual like active chamber because I had just accidentally eliminated like a live round and stuff. And so I basically was in the thing where there was two active rounds, two duds. And what I do, I eject one of the active rounds. And I don't know what the next one is. I shoot the dealer, right, with the last active round. And so I shoot him, right? And then as soon as that happens and stuff, it's like he doesn't know what the next couple ones are. And so I'm like, okay, you know, I'm trying to shoot him or shoot myself and stuff. It's like duds and stuff. And of course, because he has the handcuffs on and stuff, you could do that. Or for some crazy ass thing, I've actually had the dealer accidentally shot himself with this thing. It was absolutely hysterical when this happened. This was during the final round that actually led me to beat this game, to where he had me handcuffed, right? And so he had this active bullet stuff. He didn't have like a magnifying glass to search with bullet or whatsoever. He didn't like use any cigarettes or something, but he drank a little thing of alcohol or something, ejected the bullet and stuff, and then he went to go and shoot himself, though, and he actually shot himself, and I ended up winning the game. because when you get to that last round and stuff, it'll actually blur out the health, so you don't know how much health this guy is going to have, and it'll only do that if like he's got like a heart or two left. And so having that happen was absolutely hysterical, because what he used was another item which I hadn't mentioned up until this point. You have a blade. And what does this blade do? You cut off the barrel. You make a sawed-off shotgun, and it doubles your power. So you could take down two hearts. So he had two hearts remaining, and he pretty much knocked himself out. And so what happens when you do win a round of Buckshot Roulette, you're basically presented with actually, I shouldn't say too much more about it because, well, this game may be 10 or 20 minutes, though, but I want really people to go and play this game for themselves because this is not that expensive. It's like $2.50, maybe $3 max. It is a lot of fun. There's a lot of mind games that are involved in there. There's a lot of probability. You have to keep track of how many bullets or something like that's active and sort of that round and stuff, because it may be just three bullets with one active one and two duds, or maybe six bullets and stuff where it has like three active and three duds. So you have to really think, okay, what do I want to do first? It's like, I'll use the magnifying glass to check which one's in the round. Okay, there's two duds in a row. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to go ahead and just like shoot him once or shoot him twice or whatsoever and beat the duds. But if you miscalculate, if you do actually miscalculate, you can actually give the dealer the advantage. And he could equally do the exact same amount of bullshit that you've done to him. So yeah, I've actually lost games to where he's done the exact same thing. Where it's like, I go all out and all of a sudden, he uses a magnifying glass. He smokes a pack of cigarettes, right? And he recovers like a health. He uses the alcohol and stuff. He uses like a freaking thing, all these items inside of one round and stuff, and he still ends up like shooting a blank or shooting a thing like that. You know, it's like it's that high risk, high reward thing mixed in. You know, it is definitely a game that's that lasts a long time, but it's a freaking fun game that's really replayable in some aspects. So yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing this week. I've played half of the games I bought on Steam. These new indie games, Anomaly Agent, Penny's Big Breakaway, Buckshot Roulette, all three of them I actually do give like endorsements to the people that if you're trying to look for a new game, try any one of those ones. These are vastly different types of like games and stuff, but they have the quality of like them being on the actual like console releases, you know, and it's really cool.
Nice. Well, that's cool, Gills. Well, I think that's going to wrap up for this week, guys. So if you like all that, please like, follow, subscribe, check us out. We're on everything. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, podcast services, all those places. Like, follow, subscribe. Leave a review. Leave a comment. Tell your friends. All that fun stuff. Till then, though, I was your host. I was Tyler.
And I've been Colonel Gables. Until next time, everyone, have some fun playing some games. And thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk-Nerds Podcast.
Hey, Gables.
Yeah.
Too sweet?
Too sweet, man.
Bye, guys.
See ya.